One of my favorite children's stories about God is called Big Mama Makes the World. It's great. Big Mama's got skills. She makes the world all with a baby on her hip. She makes critters and light and dark and tells what to go where. After each day, Big Mama says, "That's good. That's real good." On the seventh day, Big Mama sits on the porch and all the people come up one at a time and tell stories. Big Mama loves stories more than anything, and she laughs and slaps her knee in joy. I also love a passage in one of Robert Fulghum's books when he describes the difference between hide and seek and sardines. In hide and seek, everyone hides. One person is it, and they have to find people. Inevitably, someone hides too well and isn't found. There is crying and accusations. In sardines, one person hides and everyone goes to look. And because when you find that person, you hide with them. Pretty soon, all the players are crammed in a tight space and somebody laughs and everybody gets found. God, Fulghum wrote, is a sardine player who is discovered by the sound of laughter. The disciples in the upper room on Pentecost were so filled with the Spirit that the folks walking by thought they were drunk. It must be new wine. "No," said Peter in the next line, "it's only 9 in the morning." I guess they hadn't perfected the Bloody Mary yet. I like Cocapelli, trickster god, seducer of maidens, troublemaker, disruptor of the way things are. He comes into town and plays his flute and everybody starts to dance, the most serious too. I love the image of God laughing because let's face it, we humans are hilarious. We are tragic and beautiful too, but as the saying goes, if you couldn't laugh at yourself, you'd cry your eyes out. Norbert Chapek, 95 years ago, came in to minister of this church in Prague, and they were dour. They were serious. Religion was serious business, and God was serious business, and they fought with each other because it was serious, and so it was important, and there was no sense of joy. So the flowers. Walking along the path to and from church, he saw the flowers and thought of how each person was like a flower and different, and he thought of the joy he felt. Because I know, because I feel it too. The joy he felt when he looked out from the pulpit and saw the people, those flowers, each in their own beauty, each with a shining light. And how, yes, the Spirit is important and even serious sometimes, but still joyful, still passionate and alive and playful and full of zest. Those who study families and churches and organizations of all kinds will tell you that you know a system has lost the capacity for change and leadership and resilience when it has lost its sense of humor. When there is no sense of joy. I know some institutions that qualify. So we're going to talk about joy and about passion and about zest for 3 weeks. Today, a joyful spirit. Next week, a joyful church. And on June 18th, a joyful life. What does joy mean? If we are to make an analogy from a joyful spirit to a joyful person, what is a joyful person like? Well, they're passionate, and they laugh, and all that, but more, they take joy in the joy of others. They laugh when you laugh. They are glad for your gladness. When you are joyful, they are joyful for you. Not envious, not trying to one-up or minimize or make you be realistic. If you are joyful, they are joyful for you. They hug when you hug. They fist bump when you fist bump. They listen when you describe your passions, and they are glad for what makes you happy, even if it isn't what makes them happy. There is something here about rejoice. Enter, rejoice, and come in. To feel joy again. Rejoy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Share the good news. Do you know someone like that who is joyful? I do. I know a bunch of them. Some of them are in this room. Many of them, but not all, are 75 years or of age or older. Either that or under 5. Some in between. It's like a reverse bell curve. Society tries to make us forget, be responsible, be serious, be Calvinists. But eventually, many remember. They remember that joy is the heart of life. Rejoice. Repeat, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Those most joyful are those who take joy in the joy of others. That means, of course, that the capacity for joy, to be a joyful person, is closely and inexorably tied to the capacity to feel hurt when others feel hurt, to weep when others weep, to mourn when others mourn, to hold with tender love the pain of the world, not to be overwhelmed by it, but to hold it, to hold one another with a deep well of love. The person of joy is the person of empathy, the person who sees you for who you are, who loves you for who you are, not someone else, but you. Doesn't minimize your joy or your pain, but says, yes, I am with you. So as I said, this is an analogy between a joyful person and a joyful spirit, a God of joy, if you will, a God of good news. In the early Jewish religion, God was like this. God was glad when God's people were glad and when they were generous and loving and at peace and when they cared for one another and when they enjoyed the world and cared for it. And in the Psalms in particular, and some of the prophets, God wept when the people wept. God was empathetic. And when Greek philosophy overwhelmed the early Christian faith, God lost God's ability to feel. God was the unmoved mover, unmoved, feeling neither joy nor sorrow, the disembodied architect who cared not what happened to those who occupied the world. Any of you grew up with a religion like this? Yeah. Popular theology held on to a God who felt both joy and sorrow, but academic and orthodox theology dropped it. Until about 100 years ago, when a group of Methodist and Unitarian and other liberal Christian theologians looked at what the Bible account actually said and looked at the new physics of quantum mechanics and the new science of evolution and the expanding universe and said, God is a verb, a process, and one who feels completely and totally, sorrow for sorrow and joy for joy, who holds all, who rejoices in our growth and the beauty of the world, in our love and our compassion, who's in our breath and in our bones. That's good, said Big Mama. That's real good. Now tell me your stories. I love stories. This is the vision of God who comes down as love divine at Pentecost. This is the dancing, bewitching, inspiriting God as a verb celebrated and imagined by Mary Daly. This is the spirit that says do, that says dance and sing. And our spirit, our piece of that divine love responds each in our own way when the spirit says do. This is a joyful spirit. And it's the only one worth following, in my opinion. I'm done with Calvinist judgmental divinity. There's no dancing in your revolution, I'm not interested, and if there's no playfulness in your God, I'll take a pass. Because if there's no playfulness in your God, then there's no empathy either. Now, of course, a lot of us don't find the concept of God or even of spirit to be particularly helpful or true for you at all. It's not something you believe in or have confidence in it, and that's all good. Because you know what else is joyful? Life itself. This world, this universe is joyful. It's funny. It's caring. You just have to look for it in the right way. As Mary Oliver wrote, don't call this world adorable or useful. That's not it. It's frisky. And a theater for more than fair winds. That's the thing about life and humanity and the universe, spirit and God. It's all there. depending on how you look at it. Ludwig Feuerbach, 150 years ago, helped invent modern humanism when he said that we humans take our highest ideals and we put them into God. So what we're really talking about when we talk about the Spirit is ourselves. We're saying what we value, what we care about. When we say that God is powerful, we're saying we value power. When we say God is love, we're saying we value love. Yep. So I choose to say that the universe is joyful. I choose to say that the Spirit is joyful. I choose to say that God, if there is one, is all. If all is God, I choose to say that God is joyful. That what is holy rejoices with our joy and weeps with our sorrow and holds all, and feels all and is love divine and laughs out loud and weeps with real tears and dances and sings sometimes off key and repeats the sounding joy. I choose to believe that. Not because I think it is true or not true, but because it's the kind of person I want to be. All of us, whether we are 5 or 75 or any age at all, whether we have lived lives of comfort or heartbreaking tragedy, whether we've never made a big mistake or we've made every single one, on our best day and our worst, this is who I want us all to be. People who take joy in the joy of others. People who feel. Without minimization or one-upsmanship or perspective. People who say, yes, yes. I do not seek to convince you then that the Spirit of life is joyful. I seek to invite you to act as if it were true. Act as if it were true. Act as if the universe likes to dance. Act as if the earth loves to laugh. Act as if your body wants to sing and that your heart has room for all that is. And just maybe it will be so. Act as if every person is a beautiful, unique flower, each its own, and that when you see a crowd together, they are beauty incarnate. Act as if your life, your own life, is ordained by the Spirit, by life, to be a witness and a testimony to the power of love, the truth of hope, the movement of joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Act as if love divine has entered your heart and you are shining there for all to see. That you are an invitation to others to live a life of joy and wonder. Act as if you are filled with a joyful spirit, an empathetic and honest and resilient and joyful spirit, and you may be. That's good, said Big Mama. That's real good. Let's sing together. 30 in your gray hymnal, the words up here. Let's rise in body or spirit.